Live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas. You're listening to the Genghis and Redman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hi, this is Nils from Dynasty, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, their doctors are licensed mechanics. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Yeah, that's the worst crowd noise I've ever
That was
heard.
A death rattle.
Are you okay after the purge? Your fucking voice is a little scratchy up there.
Yeah, it's all right. Just a little scratchy.
This
How's your voice doing?
I did all right. Did you see? Look, I think I've got on my little bat here. I've got a dozen notches, I think, at least.
Yeah.
I got a few good hits in.
Can you clear something up for us?
Well, certainly.
Look at him being all chipper tonight.
No shit, Mr. At Your Service.
Did you try to kill us, or was that whole Taylor Swift thing staged, or was it confusion?
I'd have to say it's a bit of confusion. I was kind of raining, and they got out first now, and they're probably in jail right now.
Well, that's probably true. You killed a pop star, so.
Well, this is the thing I noticed, is with the whole Eddie Trunk thing, I think a lot of people, apparently, during this purge thing, like to impersonate their favorite celebrities and kill, in their name.
Yeah.
So a lot of these people we thought we were killing weren't the real fucking people. That's disappointing. Speaking of which.
Yeah, dick.
Well, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah, it was kind of harsh how you fucked us.
Yeah, you tried to fucking kill us, you asshole.
And not even you. You fucking had somebody do it for you. This motherfucker.
This isn't to be heard one second, okay?
Why do you sound like Mr. Hanky now? Fucking weird, man.
You smell just like flowers.
You guys are so funny. It's too bad you don't have a show on SiriusXM and TV.
Holy shit.
Who's laughing now?
Well, we're laughing at you. Oh, so what are you going to say?
Look at him. Yeah, you see, he opened his mouth and stopped.
he just opened his mouth and like...
He blew his fucking mind. With truth.
I'm just going to tell you one thing. Just one little thing.
Uh-huh. Your dick?
What?
don't throw him off. I'm trying to get rid of this.
Your little Desert Island pet thing. Oh, God. I wonder where you got that idea.
Your mom?
Fuck you guys.
Hey, just get the fuck out of here.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. God, when's Tommy coming back?
No shit. He needs to get off that fucking sabbatical.
I got a certified letter from...
From the old country?
Yeah, yeah. I'm scared to open it.
Who knows?
I hope Tommy's alive. I hope he's okay.
Hey, I hope it ain't a fucking a bunch of fish wrapped in newspaper. You know what that means. We're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, John, can you do your duty as a producer?
Done and done.
This motherfucker's feeling...
What the
feeling,
fuck is...
He's just, feeling like Johnny Big Dick up there for some reason.
I was wondering if he'd been doing goofballs.
He's hopped up on goofballs.
Something's going on.
So what do we got here?
Uh-oh. Looks like the docking reunion.
A little dockage.
Which I've heard mixed reviews on this thing, but it was time for us to review.
Is that old boy on the drums? That's him?
Yeah, Mick Brown.
No shit. I don't remember being that fucking... Wasn't he like a skinny fuck back in the day?
I think they all were. George Stone. Hey, Jeff.
He's a little bit of a gut. But Mick is...
Don's a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Put on a couple LBs, like we all have.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Yep. But he looks like he's pushing... I won't say three bills, but that motherfucker looks like he's kind of a sod buster.
Three
back
bills.
Fucking old Mick Brown. He looks like a big motherfucker, dude.
I saw Dockin at the Hair Metal Holiday in Dallas last year.
Yeah.
In mix of regular comedian. Don was starting to get... He's like, enough with this shtick.
I know.
Let's play some music.
That's enough, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm the lead guy.
No shit.
This
they sound pretty good.
Yeah, plus this is... I mean, I think this is probably the closest, I bet, to George Lynch's vision of Dokken. In that he never wanted it to be with all the stupid costumes and the hair. He just wanted to rock.
Yeah, I think
he hated all that shit. And now it's like, now I'm more of... We're more on equal footing because I don't have to fucking do what you say, Don, because I can walk from this motherfucker anytime I want because I've got my career. I'm a known fucking guitar god, so I don't need this band. I enjoyed being with it and writing the songs, but if you get out of hand with my ass, I'll just fucking leave.
Do you think Don's wearing a man's ear?
I don't know what the fuck he should be. He's back there picking his ass. What's he doing back there? With his jacket on.
I do want to say something that I find interesting that I've seen by even some Lynch Mob footage I've seen recently. Yeah. Remember last time we saw Lynch Mob? It was one of the last gigs with Oni, I think.
Yeah.
But his sound or his tone was a lot more raw, right?
Yeah.
He's gotten heavier. His sound's kind of gone back to more of the Doc and early Lynch Mob sound.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet,
isn't it? The way he's doing his guitar.
Yeah, I think it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah, because it got thin a little bit.
Right.
Last time we saw them, they were great. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But I thought his sound was a little thin.
Yeah, fair enough. And that you don't attribute that to just mix? Because sometimes you get a bad mix.
I don't know.
Even when you're the headliner, you know?
I mean, the last record, he had a kind of thinner tone.
Yeah.
Compared to what it used to be or what we know. But I didn't think the Dokken stuff sounded as good as it does here.
Right.
But again, I've heard that this video has been way touched up.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if George's stuff's been touched up, but I heard Don's stuff was kind of touched up.
Now, I don't know if we've ever talked about that before, but when bands do these live videos, obviously the sound primarily is live. I guess it probably comes from the board, right, where they get the sound. And then once they do that, are they done, or do all the bands come in and do a lot of like post-production on the sound to really sweeten it up and make it sound good?
I think it depends on the band. I mean, if you look at, and I talked to Eric Martin about this, was... You know, their video, I'll give you a great comparison. The new ARW, we hadn't previewed that together yet.
Mm.
Sounds amazing. Fuck but it. There's times where the crowd's going crazy, uh-huh. and then they pan to the audience and no one's clapping.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah. And so I brought that up to Eric, and I was like, dude, you know, your Live in Milan DVD is really raw. I really liked it. I really got that live, felt like I had a live experience.
Uh-huh.
He said, dude, it was totally live. You see how that just cut?
Yeah.
That was
yeah, that was a big cut.
That was
yeah.
a weird cut, yeah.
Yeah, it really was. That's interesting. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I think you'd agree with me. Obviously, the artist has the right to present their material any way they want.
Right.
If they want to totally redo it, I mean, if they want to, fuck, haven't they done things like that? Where, I'm thinking of the Kiss situation, where like they went back for live albums and replaced vocals and
stuff. Oh, yeah, well, a lot of bands completely... from the 70s did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that because, I don't get it. Is that because they didn't feel the mix was right? I mean, they were there when they did the show, they were there when they did sound check to make sure all the volumes and levels were good,
yeah.
and they still didn't like how it came out, and they had to change it?
I think so. I think they wanted to go in and make it sound as good as it could sound, which ends up turning into another studio record, but wow. everybody playing live, you know,
huh?
For the most part, but you're doing a lot of touch-up.
That's the thing. You wonder after a while, it kind of goes against the idea of a live album if you're yeah. redoing everything in the studio.
Well, that's what Eric said. He said, you know, hey, you want some fuck-ups in there. You want people to know it's fucking live.
Yeah.
It's not Memorex.
Right, which means you leave in all the weird little glitches, like, you know,
sure.
I hit a string wrong or I broke a string or whatever.
Or feedback.
Yeah, or something, because that's the feel of the live. It's one of the many reasons why, you know, I love seeing a band live, but I don't really dig live albums. I don't like live music
yeah.
recorded, because to me it's kind of boring. It's like the whole point of a live show is I'm there experiencing it. I'm not really experiencing it if I'm listening to it in my car.
Right, right.
It's not the same. So that's why it's like, if I'm going to listen to that song, I'll listen to the fucking recorded version, which is perfectly mixed.
Sure.
So.
But, I mean, if you think of... And I don't know about Peter Frampton, but uh-huh. Frampton Comes Alive. I think that was all... I don't know. I'd have
that's
to
the
go
thing.
Back
I bet
look.
You there was a time when everything live meant live, even when you recorded it. That's why it's
but
weird.
But that's how he got popular. The songs he put out on his solo records... He had no real airplay.
And then when
he
they put the live version, yeah, and everyone
yeah,
goes nuts.
That was huge.
That's wild.
I think it's one of the best-selling live albums of all time.
It probably is, yeah, and I can imagine why. It's
yeah.
a great album. It's true. Yeah, all the Frampton songs I know from the live album, right?
Yeah.
From because they used to play them on the radio.
But I'm such a Frampton fan now. I mean, I've been a Frampton fan for a lot of years, but as I've gotten older, I appreciate it even more, and I've gone back and bought some of the older stuff,
yeah.
and I like some of the studio stuff. I thought, wow, the studio stuff's going to be kind of lame, you know?
Right.
But no, it's good. I mean, I think Cheap Trick too with Budokan. You know, I Want You to Want Me, the live version was huge. And
good
that
point.
Was their first big single, or one of their first big singles, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good venue.
Well, tell you what, we could discuss this a little bit more. I'm getting parched though, but before we start a beer, let's play a Dokken song. You got anything in mind, Holmes?
I always liked, what's the song where he's on the phone?
No
oh.
way,
I told you. It's Not Love, right?
It's Not Love, yeah, yeah, that's
I love
it.
That fucking song, so.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back.
Looks like somebody's got a little editing kit for the fucking video. All these cheap little cheesy effects.
Oh, I know. I hate that shit.
Fucking look at George Rip, man.
He's doing it, dude.
He's like, you don't have to touch my stuff up, mate. Dude, do you know Lynch is 64 now?
I know. It's fucking ridiculous, it's crazy. Dude. He's almost as old as my parents. Speaking of which, dude, I don't know what the word is, but I just hit the big 5-0, Holmes.
I know, Holmes.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It is crazy. I was there a little bit before you.
I was going to say, he's like, you know what it's like. You're like, fuck this.
Yeah, it sucks dick.
Because I went and saw the Alex Skolnick Trio on my birthday.
Yeah.
They played Houston. It was fucking phenomenal. This motherfucker. You know, obviously only know him. In fact, a lot of the audience there, they knew him from Testament, obviously. A couple of dudes in the audience wearing their... One dude had a Watchtower shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the front row. The other dude had his from the Slayer tour. So he had that shirt. He goes, I guess a lot of you guys may know me. He goes, I was back through here with my other band that you know of a couple months ago in Sugarland with another band called Slayer. And it was like, yeah! So, but he did his thing, dude. Total jazz. But he threw in some other stuff where he rocked. He did what was that Deep Purple song that's off that live album that's real famous, where it's just that super long keyboard solo at the beginning of the song. Can't remember the name of it. But he fucking did a version of it, and he rocked out on it, and he did a bluesy song. And, dude, his blues licks are fucking tight,
about
dude.
Play of Soul, Holmes.
I wish he would, dude. He didn't do that one. But he did some really good, because his latest album with the group Conundrum, that's got a lot of different stuff. Like, there's one that's kind of a chicken-picking song.
Mm-hmm.
So he played it, goes, this seems like the appropriate place to play, you know, in Texas, to play this kind of song. So we'll play that for you now. It's really a cool groove. And then he did, he's got one that's almost kind of like Django Reinhardt. Uh-huh. So this kind of gypsy jazz thing. It was phenomenal. And he was shredding all over the fucking place. And, you know, not a fucking single neoclassical lick in sight.
Oh, wow.
Hardly any sweeping. It was just really traditional jazzy stuff. But he rocked out a little bit.
Nice.
A little bit was electric. You know, he kind of kicked on the wah pedal and got in some... He did one song. It's a tribute to Prince. Uh-huh. And it was fucking... dude, he was funking it up, dude. He was like...
Oh, nice.
You would have loved it. Kind of your Dan Reed Network kind of funk fest. It was pretty sweet. Anyway, killer fucking set. Got to meet him afterwards. Got my picture with him. And I told him, I go, dude, this is a hell of a way to spend my 50th birthday. He goes, oh, congratulations. He goes, I just had mine. Because I think his birthday is also in October.
Oh, really?
He goes, I just had mine, dude. I just turned 50 myself. And I said, yeah, it doesn't feel right. He goes, dude, it never fucking does, right? And I was exactly right.
Hey, Steven, didn't
he? Yeah?
Did y'all kiss?
No.
He didn't give you a birthday kiss?
No.
How about some dessert?
Just.
I'll leave that to you and your sick mind. But no, it was really cool.
We've got cake up in the green room.
Oh, cool. I'll come check it out. It's not one of those special cakes you get from that one bakery you like,
dude,
is it?
It was one of those big ass cakes. Like something pops out of it.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. I thought you meant it was going to be a big ass.
Oh, well. Like, I saw something else. I don't even want to tell you what it is.
I saw one. I go, why did you bring me one? It's like, oh, I'm not a lumberjack. Why is this a big log? And, yeah. And I realize it's not a log, dude. Like, this motherfucker.
That's what I get for leaving him up to get the
party. Right. He says, you said you wanted like a sexy cake. And I'm like, right. A different kind of sex, though. Not this one.
Well, I tell you what, I parched Mr. G.
Yes. Fucking wait for this, Holmes.
I'm excited.
I saw this. I happened to pass by in the store the other day, and I went, yeah. You know, like scratch record like, scratch. I went,
yes.
I know. I was like, yes.
You did the Marv Albert, Holmes.
That's right. With authority. So.
Authority.
That's right. This is the of another Buffalo Bayou beer.
Hi.
One of our favorite breweries. This is the Orange Mocha Frappuccino, dude.
Nice.
It's going to be a little scary how good this might be.
You might want to put a teat on your glass.
Why you gotta be like that, Holmes? You can't call me out, Holmes.
Just try me, mate. Alright, I'm gonna pour this bitch.
It's pretty decent tunage, Holmes.
Oh yeah.
You might have not fucked up.
I don't know if we're not paying close enough attention, but I haven't seen the weird editing stuff.
I know.
With the exception of the weird fucking... It's like somebody's got their first graphics machine. I want them to put some special effects.
This is like from the fucking MTV era. Remember in the beginning of MTV?
Oh, dude.
Nobody knew what the fuck to do in a video, so they just said, wait, you mean we can like split the screen and shit?
Yeah.
Cool. And it's like now it looks so fucking cheesy.
The mid-90s. Yeah, wifey and I had one of these. We went to New York. We did this whole video thing, right?
Yeah.
These are the effects I was using in like 95, 96.
Okay, so let me read off the label here. Orange Mocha Frappuccino is a liquid eulogy for all the gingerbread male models that have died in freak gasoline fight accidents. Rich Amaya Espresso, succulent sweet orange, and velvety vanilla swirl through a creamy milk stout base so delicious, you'll want to derelict your own bottle. Thank you very much. This is a 7.6 ABV American stout. Holy fuck, I can't even wait. This has got the fucking label's classic. It's got kind of like a little mountain, and the buffalo's up on there with his beer up, and it's just like spewing out like, whoa! He's fucking loving it. One of our favorite breweries, as we know.
Yeah,
the label,
totally.
Give that an A+. This fucker's nice and dark, too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Nice sort of soapy lacing.
Yeah, got the lacing.
I give a 4 on the look.
Yeah, totally.
Let's give it a snort. Not seeing much out of it.
Me neither.
Interesting.
A little watery.
Deceptive. Yeah, a little water. I think you're right. I'll give that maybe a 3.5. 3?
Maybe a 3.
Let's give it a 3.
Just because it doesn't have much odor.
All right. Let's clink it and see what happens.
A little watery.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those beers as it warms up, kind of the flavors start to come out.
It's not bad. It's not blowing me away like I hoped it
would. Right. I imagine this being some amazing, super liquid, velvety drink.
And we hadn't had this in either, like, kind of special evenings out there. I don't believe.
We should. Okay. A little bit more flavor starting to come in.
There's a hint of orange in the end of the palate.
That's nice. Kind of almost a honey blossom, orange honey blossom kind of feel. That's nice. You ever had those orange chocolates?
Oh, yeah. They're badass.
It's like one of those chocolate oranges things. A little bit. And I think as it warms up, more of that flavor will come in. But it's at the end of it, which is interesting. Yeah, the first part of it is kind of alcohol-y.
Yeah.
But
what's the ABV on?
7.6.
Okay, it's not that bad. Got a little bite to it.
Yeah. There's a bit of a wang to it. Orange Mocha Frappuccino. Well, let's see. We'll give it a shot. I mean, I would say so far, 3 on the the mouthfeel, maybe 3 on the taste.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's already starting to smell a little bit.
Better.
I think as it warms up, I think you're going to get a change in the taste.
I'd say a solid 3. I was hoping, I was thinking this was going to be a 4.
I know. I really had hopes for it. But I have a feeling, even as I'm sitting here smelling it, the more I smell it, the more flavors start to come through. So I have a feeling it's going to change on us. We just got to give it
we'll
a chance.
See how it kind of warms up.
We'll report back, as time goes on.
Why does Don feel like he needs to play guitar?
You see a lot of that. How do you feel about that when you have the guy who traditionally, back in the day, has always been a singer, and that's it? Uh-oh, solo?
I guess it adds a little bit. But is he even plugged in? It is, but... No, I've seen Don live with him here in recent years. And, yeah, it's just... I guess it adds a little bit to the rhythm part. But, I mean, on some of the bigger songs they're playing, he's not playing.
Yeah, I appreciate you talking while I air guitar the fuck out of this.
I'm glad that George decided to look at Mick so we couldn't see the solo.
And Mick already looks like he's just worn out. Like, fuck, I'm tired. I'm so fucking tired up here.
I want to see. I saw Mick when he was playing with Nugent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is getting better.
They sound good. I'll give you that. They do sound good.
I just love to see fucking Don keeps looking like he's pulling his underwear up in the back.
Shit. Me girdle's falling, mate.
He's like, you have to sing.
It must be really cold. He's wearing that trench coat, Holmes.
I know, it's freezing up there, Holmes.
Shit.
And our boy Pilsen, Holmes.
Jeffrey Holmes.
He's like, I'll kept in shape.
He's like, I left me Hawaiian shirt at home, mate.
He's like, I kept in shape. I don't know what happened to you, Don and Mick. You fuckers let yourself go.
Is he wearing Pumas?
He's wearing those
Pumas?
His weird little shoes. His running shoes.
So I'm going for a jog.
It's like,
this.
I'm about to do a run in the 70s when I'm done.
Shit.
What do you think of Jeff as a bass player? Is he good?
Yeah, he's not bad. I think where he adds, and he's got that, he's kind of that Michael Anthony kind of guy.
Right, he's got the high voice for the
harmonies. He's got the great harmony backing vocals. As far as a bass player, it's not going to blow you away like a Billy Sheehan.
And I think that's the deal, is that you got these guys that are bass players that are solid. They'll do a solid beat. They're not going to be like pyrotechnics, but solid beat plus they can sing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So that combination makes them really a good fit.
Well,
if he couldn't sing, I don't know that he necessarily would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd be like, we don't need him. We can replace him. But maybe, for all we know, he co-writes a lot of shit. I don't know.
He might do that.
He might be like a pretty talented bro. Has he been in a lot of different other bands?
Oh, yeah. He played with Dio for a while.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
He's with Foreigner now.
Okay.
He had his own band, War and Peace.
So he's your basic journeyman bass player kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'm hip.
And him and Lynch are supposed to have this other band coming out with Robert Mason on vocals.
Bobby Mason?
So it's Mick on drums, Jeff on bass, George, and then Robert Mason singing. So it's almost like Lynch Mob or Stocking with Robert Mason on vocals, basically.
But it's Bobby, right? It's B-O-B-E-E?
Yes.
With a little heart over the E for no reason? Bobby
Mason.
Yeah, there's
little hearts, yeah.
Don. He's the kind of guy that would, like, dye his eyebrows.
He's on Tommy Bush, right, mate?
That's right. I need the eyebrows to be on point, mate.
Tommy Bullfro.
This guy. With his Prince Valiant
hair.
No,
he's the kind of guy that's got a heart shape in his ball fro.
Fucking Don.
Hey, you don't knock that shit. It's a bastard sting, the motherfucker.
Why are you getting so upset?
I know.
I'm just saying.
I think he's invested in it. I heard, this is a rumor, that he has his own, he's got like a couple of hair salons on the north side of town.
Who, John?
Yeah. That's sort of his side hustle.
Where'd you hear that?
Through the grapevine. I heard
I
it on.
I made an accepted slip on.
That fucking figures. Fucking Mr. Big Mouth.
No shit.
Yeah, but again, you guys think you're so above me, but who's the person with every rock star's phone number in their phone? excuse me. That's me, motherfuckers. Hold on, Slash. He's texting me right now.
Oh, God. Go back to your text, Eddie.
I know.
Please. Leave us alone.
There was that one little moment for like 10 seconds when Jeff played the keyboards.
Shit.
That was funny.
But yeah, I love George's style.
Now they're like, quick, get out of the fucking way.
Look at that.
Fucking Georgie. He's a classic, like, old school guitarist where he says, fuck it, I don't need a bridge or a fucking neck pickup.
Yeah.
Straight, I mean, a middle or neck pickup. It's all straight bridge, dude.
Yeah.
Humbucker, one humbucker, I'm done. I don't need all these extra fucking pickups. Even on that Strat model, it was just the fucking.
Why does humbucker. Don have a Sharknado guitar?
I don't know, dude. I think that's what it is. It's probably
looks like sharks.
No, it's like a Ghoulies guitar. It's like one of those promotional guitars that says Budweiser on it.
Yeah, no shit.
He got in a contest like Harley Davidson or something.
Called it Spring Break, mate.
That's right. It says Daytona Beach.
No shit.
And it is Corona. It's a Corona guitar.
That'd be awesome. Look at what is this guy?
That's Raphael Bittencourt in the audience, Holmes. He's like, I like to catch this.
Shit.
I don't mean it. Raphael, by the way, was a cool motherfucker.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
Chilling on the bus with his bare feet. I'm like, put some fucking shoes on, Raph. I'm asking. Want to ask you nice?
Ask you one the last time.
I know. I only ask once.
Why am I craving cheese?
I know. It's like, can I get a little wine to go with this? Shit. No, he was a cool dude. He was.
Oh yeah, so chilling. Nice, so nice.
Yeah, it was cool of him to make time because I think we got confused. Somebody got confused on the whole schedule for the interview.
Yeah.
And so, but everybody was cool about it. They made it work, and I appreciate that. We were able to get a good talk with him about the new album and stuff. And of course, I think we mentioned it before. The show was fucking phenomenal.
No, we hadn't. We hadn't talked.
Oh,
about
well,
it
then fucking, we got to tell him how awesome. What a great fucking place to catch Angra.
Oh yeah,
because they filled that fucking place with sound, dude.
Oh yeah, yeah. And just, I mean, it was one of those sleeper bands we were talking about earlier that you kind of forget about. I mean, there's a lot of bands out there, but
yeah, totally.
I mean, there's one that the first U.S. tour. You go see them live, you're sold.
That's the thing. First headlining U.S. tour ever.
Yeah.
And they've been around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. I mean, they've been here before, of course, with Prog Nation, I think.
It was only Prog Power. That was it.
Prog Power. That's it. Prog Power. And, you know, on the bill. And I think they're very popular.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd never been able to do a solo kind of headlining tour. So right. How fucking awesome to catch them. And
oh, yeah.
Homeboy, Marcello. Isn't that his name on the second guitarist?
Yeah, amazing.
Filling in for Kiko.
Yeah.
And they say he's still in the band, or at least they list him as a member.
Yeah.
But obviously with Megadeth, I don't know if he's allowed to come back and work with the band or doesn't have the time or what.
I think they have so much shit going on. I don't know. I mean, Dave's got so much shit going on now. Not Mustaine, but Elfson.
Right.
With his coffee. He's got a record label.
And doesn't he do that like he does some sort of camp or something?
What?
I think he's got like a Bible camp or something.
Really?
Isn't that wild? He's got like that going on. Which is pretty cool. I think he's like a minister. He's like studying to be a minister or something like that.
I think he told me about that.
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, he's got like a whole deal, but still says, but I'll still rock, Mike. So don't even worry about it. I think, Mick's fighting the bass. He's like, I gotta lean into it. Ah. He's funny. I always thought for a second he was wearing a scarf there, like Homeboy from Cheap Trick.
Yeah, no shit.
With this fucking infinity scarf on. That motherfucker's great. It's like, it's 87 degrees in here, buddy.
What happened here?
It's like, I don't know, but I think I can see his bra strap.
No shit. He changed shirts.
Yeah.
Okay, I think this is two different shows. I think one's...
They filmed like two different nights and they just spliced stuff together.
Yeah,
because
I thought it was like in Japan, but... I think there's some U.S. stuff there, too.
Interesting.
Because I saw a bunch of gringos, Holmes.
Los gringos. He's like, look, I'm playing guitar, mate. I think those are wolves or something on that.
Are they wolves or sharks?
No, they're wolves. That's what it is. That makes it much cooler.
No shit. I take everything back.
Oh,
no,
I'm sorry, mate. No, I was too judgmental about it.
What is he doing?
He starts doing a whole fucking like Spanish guitar thing and fucking rocks it like.
I'll show you George Lynch.
I know you're nothing, mate.
No shit.
I'll have to do fill in all your guitar parts later.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we play a song?
Yeah, it's been a while. We should hit it.
And then we will get into our topic. How about a little Steven Wilson? Pretty excited. He's coming here in December.
Oh yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah,
Porcupine Tree guy.
Yeah, yeah. So. Latest record, To the Bone. How about Pariah? Really cool tune.
Nice.
Check it out.
I'm tired of weakness, tired of my feet of clay. I'm tired of days to come. I'm tired of yesterday. And all the worn out things that I ever said, now it's much too late. The words stay in my head. So the day will begin again. Take comfort from me. It's up to you now. You're still here and you're digging again. That's comfort to you. It's up to you now.
Yeah, you can tell it's a bigger stage.
Okay.
Oh, he's got the lens. Don's just giving him go to hell looks. Why are you using your lynch mob guitar? This is talking, bitch.
And when like Don turns his head, he like lists the guitar and shows all the tour dates for Lynch Mob.
Ditch it.
Like, don't forget to show up, mate.
What's he doing?
I don't know. I think he's going to do a show tune.
What's with that jacket?
He's like, somewhere out there.
He's like, this jacket's made out of trash bags, right?
I don't know what's going on with that jacket. Yeah. I just love his fucking... He looks like Kathleen Turner, dude.
He does. Literally. That's the way she looks now.
It kind of is, sadly, but... He's doing all the things. It's the ballad. Now is the time for our ballad.
He's got his grandmama's pendant around his neck.
A little brooch.
Yeah. Did you see that?
I love your brooch.
It's gone now.
Your cameo.
He disappeared.
What the fuck?
Oh, he morphed into that other show.
You're right. Oh, see, this is tripping me out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of cool and weird at the same time.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah, now they're not even on the stage, like they disappeared.
He's like, I can't sing this, guys.
Is this Alone Again or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there's the brooch. You're right.
It's my grandmama's.
I know, it's like my grandmama came to the show. They're already done. See, this is how...
The show's over.
I know,
what happened?
This is how mystical it is.
Is this a video?
It's tripping me out, dude.
Yeah, there's like Japanese people and then there's American people.
And they're saying, a road again.
Uh-oh, the band showed up. Except for Jeff.
You miss me being racist, Holmes. It was great.
Wait, hey, you need to get that lady off the Yikes. Screen. Oh, wow.
Who's in the audience?
There's the parents there.
It's parent night. It's at a fucking, like, Kushada. It's a fucking, like, a Vegas nightclub.
It's a cruise ship.
It's like a seniors cruise ship. And they're all just fucking rocking.
No shit. Oh, fuck, that's crazy. Oh. God, we could almost talk about this docking video all night.
I know, it's amazing, dude.
Well, I tell you what, I had a little bit of a topic, and I want to touch on a few things that have been going on. We mentioned Angra as a show we saw recently. But I want to talk about, you know, we've talked about concerts all the time and different dynamics. And a dynamic that Genghis has experienced, I think twice now, is the new dinner show where you have dinner and then you see a show.
It's kind of cool, actually.
So kind of give us the lowdown of what it's all about.
Oh, well, it's been at Do-Si-Do is the name of the place. And what's cool about Do-Si-Do is they're, I'm not sure how to describe them, but one of the things they sort of pride themselves on is they like bringing acts that don't normally get play anywhere else.
Yeah.
So they want to kind of help the little guy get out there. And it's not necessarily, you know, a little guy. I mean, little in the sense that they're not much exposure. Testament is obviously a big band. Skolnick is a big guy in the band. But his little jazz trio that he likes to do on the side isn't as well known, so you know, not going to be as high profile a gig. They're not going to be playing the Smart Center or the Toyota Center or something. So places like this give them a shot. And what's cool is they're kind of like almost like a barbecue joint. And wow. In fact, the place itself, they call it the Barn, and it literally is a barn. It was a tobacco barn, like back in like Virginia, like 200 years ago. It's like this 200-year-old.
Oh, that's cool.
Where they used to make and dry tobacco. They took it apart piece by piece, moved across the country, reassembled it here in Houston. So you get all this great history with it. And then they bring in these bands. It's got great acoustics. It's a great little place to sit. There's like not a bad seat in the house. And what's cool is they got these big tables set out. They got a kitchen in the back.
Yeah.
And for some shows, a three-course dinner is included in the price of the ticket.
Yeah.
So you get there and they serve the dinner, you get the whole meal. So you're sitting there, like I was watching, we saw Tuck and Patty, me and Paulette. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting to see them for like 30 years. And she came with me. She's really gotten into them now. We were sitting there like just fucking drinking coffee and eating cheesecake and watching these dudes jam on the stage. And I'm like, this is a great fucking way to see a show, dude. And we were front row seat.
Oh, nice.
Because I bought my ticket soon enough that literally front row center stage, I'm like I could reach out and go, all right, let me get that for you, Tuck. You're a little low on the mix. I could reach out and touch his pedal board, you know?
Oh,
it was
nice.
Like, this is fucking... It was a great fucking way to see a show.
So what does that add to the price?
Well, that's the thing. I found out that I had read... if you look on their calendar, some of the shows you see, it'll say right on the, you know, they'll show the act, they'll show the price of the show, and then show, and it'll say dinner's included. And I thought that's true for all the shows, because it looked like it was on most of them. So we saw Tuck and Patty's like $50 for a ticket. I saw a Skull and a Trio, that's $20 a ticket.
But and, no dinner with the Skull in it, right?
Well, that's the thing. I thought it was dinner, and we and they still serve dinner, but then they're like bringing by the bill at the end, and I thought, yeah. And she was looking at me like, I thought it was included. And I found out only certain shows are, and they and those are usually the ones, like they had Graham Nash from, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
He did a show there like a month ago, and that ticket, the guy sitting next to us, he went to that. He said that was
$200.
Like $200, exactly. So that because it made didn't make sense really when I thought about it. I was like, you're right. A $20 ticket has to pay for a 3-course fucking meal and the fucking show,
right?
All at once. So we talked to late afterwards. Like, what's the deal now? Because we've been here twice and we got charged for the dinner, and we realized, oh, those aren't one of those special shows. So all right, that's fine. So now we'll just know from now on. What we'll do is, like, the dude who sat next to us, he goes, I already fucking ate dinner before I came here, so I don't have to, you know,
fuck these
buy
guys.
Their shit. Yeah, exactly. Not that the food's good. Like, I had a fucking appetizer that's. It's jalapenos stuffed with brisket and then deep fried.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, dunk that in the ranch dressing. And I was like, this motherfucker. It's called armadillo eggs.
Uh-huh.
I'll take the armadillo eggs, man. I had those. They were fucking delicious. And then they have the fucking ginormous chicken fried steak. It's one of their specialties. It's like the fucking size of a plate,
daddy,
dude.
Huh?
It's huge. So they got a lot of good shit. But you're right. It makes more sense to eat before you go.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I brought that up is... Lee had told me that Rick Emmett's on his final tour.
Right, that he played there.
An acoustic.
Yeah. And the guy that we sat next to, he went to that. He said it was fucking awesome.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like, well, but how awesome? I mean, did he play like solo shit or did he play
a lot of
Triumph stuff?
I
and
saw
if it is,
it's
just a single guitar?
Yeah. Is so him no and another company? Dude?
Oh, okay, there's another guy with him?
Yeah. And I want to go, but man, $178 a ticket.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
I can't afford that.
Yeah, he said I sat way back there, which is still a good seat. Yeah. He said, but that was $200. You know, up closer it was more like $250,
and
I'm
I
like,
had to blow somebody for that ticket.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm not gonna. I mean, it hurts going to these big shows like
yeah.
Slayer, and it's like $125. I mean,
or Maiden even, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like too much, you know, or right on the edge of it. So. You know, that's fine, whatever. And now, obviously, for that, you better include my fucking dinner, man.
Actually, Slayer was pretty reasonable.
What?
It was Priest that we got kind of fucked up.
That was the one? I couldn't think of which
yeah.
one it was.
And we didn't have the best seats. They were okay, but...
They were good, though. Yeah, I'm not complaining. It was. I enjoyed the show. I was
what
glad
is
I
with
went.
This?
It's these cheesy fucking effects you told me about. It's
yeah,
like someone said, wait, there's a filter I can use. Look at this.
I think Don did the editing. That's what I heard.
He did it at home on his MacBook.
No,
he's like, no, don't. I can do it myself, mate. No, I'll totally learn how to do it.
You're going
to
save money, right?
I know. It's going to be great.
You're going to put Jeff in Pixels.
And the fucking, like, to produce a video costs like $50.
No shit.
But he's like, you guys, I should get the most of the profit since I did all the work.
No shit. That's why they broke up again, Holmes.
Exactly.
No,
like, I had it with you, motherfucker.
No, but I wanted to go see him, but I, you know, I didn't give a shit about getting the food.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have taken a wifey, she probably would have dug that.
Yeah.
But another thing, too, is I love Emmett, and it would be great to see him one last time.
I think so.
I
yeah.
want to see him electric. I mean, the acoustic thing's cool.
That's my thing. Is like I like that it's an intimate show, but
yeah.
for the type of music he's known for, it's not intimate acoustic shit. It's like I want to hear the electric shit.
Oh, dude. John Waite played there a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was acoustic. I was at... It was a storyteller thing. I was like, oh, that could be kind of cool, but I want to see John Waite electric, you know? And is he going to play Bad English?
I was
going to
say, you
want to
do the Bad English
stuff
rocking
like that,
out.
You know? Because you were with us when we saw him in Austin back in the day, right?
I think so.
They were fucking awesome.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah,
fucking
Bad English. Yeah, yeah, I remember Bad English.
Club? Forget it. Backstage
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, they was, yeah. That shit was badass.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's where we saw them. I think we saw Shotgun Messiah there.
Yeah.
We saw Faith No More. We saw all kinds of bands back in the day at that place.
I don't think I saw Faith No More there.
I did. I saw them with...
I saw Death Angel there.
I saw them with Lee.
That place
that was a good fucking show.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
Death
fuck,
Angel.
Fuck yeah, dude. That was a great... Seeing shows back in the day was fucking awesome.
Totally.
I told fucking Alex when I got to meet him, I said, dude, I saw you back in time 30 years ago. You guys were with Annihilator on that tour.
Did you go, Alex?
I know. Back, he said it was back, y'all were in San Antonio because that's where they were going next after they
oh,
did
okay.
the show in Houston. And I said, I saw you back then. And he goes, and I think it's so cool now to see how you progressed. What?
At Sneakers?
No, it wasn't Sneakers. I think it was like Showcase, I think it was called. But I said it's so cool to see how you become this fucking rock dude. Yeah, yeah. I told him, I said, it was really cool to see how you were from that guy. Because remember back when I saw him, I was with Lee. And he was wearing like this green jumpsuit. He was a skinny little rail dude. And he was standing. I mean, he must have been like 19 or something. Uh-huh. And he was standing. He was going like he was scared to death or something. He looked like he was nervous or something. He didn't move a muscle. He just stood there and played guitar. And that was it.
Testament?
Yeah. And now when you see him, he's up on the stage. He's like doing the rock pose.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
doing the thing. I'm like, it's cool to see that progression of how you kind of. Like, you've come out of your shell and, like, look at me. I can fucking play guitar, bitch. So I think that's really cool. And now he's doing this fucking jazz thing. So I like how he's evolved as a guitarist.
What did he say when you told that?
He just kind of looked at me like, hey, whatever. Like, I don't think he necessarily...
So don't be a faggot.
I was like, what are you trying to say? You want to kiss me or something? And I'm like, no. Looking around, like, all nervous.
I knew it.
Look at him rubbing his hands together like, ha-ha. I got you now, motherfucker.
Good job. To the fucking Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
Exactly. It's all fucking planning it. No, seriously though, it was pretty cool meeting him. He's a really cool guy, and the other dudes, of course, there was the dreaded drum solo, but Homeboy was really good. Classic jazz. Mm-hmm. Homeboy did for his bass thing, it was mostly that stand up double bass.
Oh nice.
But that motherfucker was shredding, dude.
Oh, badass,
I was like, fuck,
is he anybody or just in that?
No, it's some of these, they're all a bunch of dudes from Brooklyn, basically. Oh, wow. Yeah, he's like, all the way from fucking Brooklyn. Is Matt Zabrowski and Nathan Peck, I think, are the guys on.
Okay.
But they were all fucking phenomenal.
Well, that sounds awesome.
It was a great fucking show. I mean, you saw the clips I texted you.
Yeah, they were badass.
I fucking dug him, dude. He was the. Anyway, so it's a great place to see stuff. I hope to see more. I mean, probably the most rocking act I ever saw there was Greg Howe, and that was a great fucking show.
Well, that's where you saw Greg Howe,
fuck
too?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Wow.
So I saw Greg Howe there with Stu Hamm, who did a fucking killer bass solo.
The Hamm was
The Hamm
there?
Was with Greg, huh?
Damn.
He's like, I brought the Hamm, right?
No shit. Well, it's kind of interesting because you think of the name, and it turns you off instantly, at least a rock guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do-si-do.
I know, it sounds all
like... I thought it was a
country bar. Hell, let's go to the do-si-do.
Yeah.
They make their own coffee, so that's sort of like one of their big claims to fame. They're their own brand of coffee there.
Oh, wow.
They're all proud of it. But it's like, something I had, a cup of that with the cheesecake, and I was like, you know what? This is a fucking way to see a show. Instead of standing on my fucking feet for 5 hours behind a dude who's 7 fucking feet tall for the whole show, I can sit on my fat ass, have some fucking cheesecake, front row, and watch a killer fucking band.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, dude. I mean, Richie Kotzen's played there a couple times.
Damn.
On a solo tour.
And do most of the bands do meet and greets afterwards? Or?
Yeah, I mean, like the merch table's like right on the side. It's like, all right, we'll see you over there, right after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big line because everybody wants to go see them. But they stay there till everybody's done, man. You get to go up, take a picture with them, and hang out, talk with them a little bit. I bought the album.
Yeah.
Talked with the dudes. It was pretty fucking cool. They didn't have any shirts. I was like, dude, where's the fucking shirts, dude?
You should have.
You're a metal guy. You know how this works.
Yeah, no shit.
Where's my fucking shirt? But I fucking loved it. I can't wait for another show there. It's too bad it's all the way in the fucking Woodlands, so it takes like an hour to get there, but whatever.
So what is your limit for something like that to pay to see somebody? Do you want the dinner included, pay $100 or?
I don't need it to be, especially if it's going to be around $200. It's like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you think about it then, so the show itself comes out to be, even if it's $50. I'm paying you $50 for this three-course meal. I don't know that it's worth $50.
Well,
I want some surf and turf. You're going to throw me some fucking $50.
So anyway, we're back to analyzing this Dokken video.
This amazing Dokken video.
I got to say, it sounds good, but I heard a lot of it was touched up in the studio.
I wonder what the practical... This is another kind of tangent. What's the practical reason when you see dudes play? I used to think with the guitarist it makes sense, but not necessarily the bassist. That with a guitarist, especially if you have songs where, okay, this song's in drop D tuning, or this song's in an open C or whatever, it's like, all right, it makes sense. I'll have one guitar tuned to drop D and one guitar regular, and I can just grab them in between.
Well, look at Liz. She's got like 20 guitars.
That's the thing. So my thing is like, why are you changing 20? Because you only need one guitar if you don't change your tuning. And same with the bass player. It's like, you don't have alternate tunings on a bass for the most part.
Yeah.
Why do you keep changing basses? So there must be a reason because everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were a dude, I'd be like, I just need one fucking bass. It's my one amp, and let's do the show. Meanwhile, George will take like fucking 20 minutes to get all his shit set up because he's dicking around. And I'll be like, whatevs, I'll be outside smoking a joint.
Yeah, fucking Lynch sounds amazing.
See, it's like it's a strap model, just the pick of the humbucker.
I don't think his fingers were matching up with the sound.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and rewind it, but... Or maybe it's just a weird effect they kind of got on the...
It could be. Just the frame rate's kind of funky and jacks with you.
I mean, we've seen George in the last few years.
And wow, he's playing without a pick?
He's playing better than he played back in the day, I think.
Oh, yeah. It looks like he's playing without a pick.
Was he?
Kind of looks like it. Like when he's doing the little thing
at
the end.
What does he do with this fucking mic stand? He's going to hurt himself up there. What is he doing?
He's a samurai.
I'm David Lee Roth, right?
He's a samurai, Holmes.
Shit.
Or a drum major. He starts marching. What was that guy doing? I will point at you.
You are most honorable, Doc. That's so racist. That's
it is. It's one of those holdover racist things we like to do. It never gets old with us, Holmes. We're fucking 15 years old.
He's going to hurt himself with a fucking mic stand.
No
I'm
shit.
Convinced.
Or drop it like he just did. Whoops, yeah. I dropped it.
Sorry about that, mate.
I know.
You get his fucking trash bag jacket on. It looks like a trash bag.
Or like it was made out of like old car seats or something.
No shit. We couldn't afford to do one, mate. We went to the junkyard.
No shit. I mean, look at his leather pants, dude. It looks like it's ripped on there. He's like, look, if this show works out, I'll get a new pair of pants.
You know, and that's one thing about Doc, and you would hear it with, like, I mean, if Roth or Michael Anthony was still in Van Halen, yeah. Michael Anthony can still hit a lot of those fucking notes.
He better.
Pilsen can still hit those notes.
Yeah.
So I really get, I see a lot of these older bands, if they have a good backup guy, uh-huh, in the band that can still sing, that's maybe younger or whatever.
Right.
You know, I think it really helps with the sound, even if the vocalist can't do it. And I respect Don for dropping it an octave or whatever he's got to do.
Right. I think we've discussed that before, that it's like it's better that the singer says, look, you know, we might have to change some things. I can still sing, but it's stupid for me to try to hit notes I can't hit. Nobody's right. going to want to hear that. You know, so like Eric Martin... I think we've tried to sort of skirt around asking him, but I don't know if we've asked him directly, but it's clear to me that he's dropped the vocals.
He basically told us that.
Okay, good.
Remember?
I was going to say, because like I said, I'm not trying to bust his balls or anything about it.
Well,
you know,
I loved it when he was like, you know, when the guys put the mic out in the audience, it's because they can't fucking hit the notes. Because I don't think I'm telling a secret here.
Yeah, and that's fair. Yeah, that's the thing. My thing is, hey, let's just be realistic about it. We don't need to act like, you know, look how clever, we're going to fool you or something.
Right.
It's like, it's not that important, dude.
Neal is like throwing the mic out in the audience about every other word.
Exactly. And I don't blame a guy that he can't hit the notes anymore. That's the one thing about the singer that the other instrumentalists don't have to worry about, right? Their instrument never changes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're 60 years old, your guitar's tuned to E is still going to sound like a regular fucking guitar. But the singer's vocals are going to drop, right?
Yeah.
Your voice gets lower as you get older.
Well, I'm going to tell you, one of the first guys that I remember seeing live that lowered his octaves was Roth with Van Halen when they did the reunion tour.
I think I remember you mentioned it, yeah, because that was the first time I'd heard of that.
And I was like, when I saw him on that reunion tour, I was like, holy shit, Dave was the best guy on stage. Even over at
Eddie
and everything.
Even with that change, it still sounded good.
And I respected that. And then the next time I saw him, I think Dave was trying to push it more, but Eddie stole the show.
Trying to go for it?
Eddie was fucking on fire that last tour.
Shit?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
But now they're like, we're doing whatever. It's a shame they're not doing anything right now. Okay, watch his fingers. Looks like he's playing note for note, right?
Pretty much.
He sounds a fucking amazing.
Oh, it's George, dude.
His tone is so much better there than the last time we saw him. He did something with his tone there.
Nice.
I think... No, it didn't match up. It didn't match up. Did you see that?
Yeah, a little bit.
He was already been in the notes, and it wasn't there.
It's all good. I'm not mad at him.
I guess they could be a little less blatant with the, or been a little bit more subtle with some of the editing.
It'd be funny for all like the close-ups. You can tell it's the other like the shirt's totally different when he does them for a close-up.
Well, I think it's really weird because there's no way you're going to match up the audio with the way they're doing this.
Oh, totally.
They're skipping all the way around with the set list, too. Because sometimes they're sweaty, sometimes they're not.
Right.
They're wearing different clothes.
Oh, even within the same shows. Even in the same show.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I mean, they showed Jeff a little bit ago. He was soaking wet, sweating.
Uh-huh.
And now his hair's dry.
Yeah.
And they're about mid-set.
That's funky, man.
I'm not sure why they would switch it all around.
And that's what I get. So again, like I was trying to say before, I get that it's your creation. You can do what you want with it. And you've got your reasons. That's fine. You have a right to try to present your own material the best way you can. But some of it is like, if it looks weird and disjointed, that's going to throw the audience off, man.
Yeah,
even if it's
whenever, especially when they go to the black screen,
yeah,
you know something's up. It's like, okay, this isn't in sync anymore. Now look at Jeff's hair. Jeff, his hair was all dry. Now it's like soaked. I think it is.
And then when he goes into sing, it's like all quaffed, like it's fresh.
No
like,
shit.
What the fuck?
He just got it blown dry.
I know, well, we weren't looking. You're phenomenal, mate. He's got this the Les Paul out Holmes. See, it's like fucking... George is constantly changing the guitars.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's fine, but I like just wonder why. It's like, why would I want to carry 18 guitars with me? Risk that they get stolen or broken or something.
Yeah, no shit. They sound fucking good, though.
I know it was written for a fucking movie.
Yeah.
But I love this fucking song.
Oh, dude.
Dream
Warrior.
One of
the best, like, movie songs ever.
Oh, totally. Because it's just classic Dokken. It's got all the Dokkenisms in it. And the Japs are loving it, Holmes.
I wish they would not have broken up after Back for the Attack. If they would have had one more record in their heyday, in their prime. Because Back for the Attack was kind of their prime. What would that next record have been? You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Could have been the next Lynch Mob, a lot of it.
Probably. That's the thing. That's the thing. I always thought that Lynch Mob was basically the next sort of version of Dokken, basically.
Yeah.
Like that. Like those songs could have been on the Dokken record, but they just, like, you fucked up. Now these are mine.
No shit. Well, I tell you what, Holmes, we've been belaboring this topic for a little bit.
I think you're right.
I think it's time for a little classic over there. What do you think?
I think you're making a lot of sense.
Mr. G.
Kick into it. What do you think of the beer? Did it ever change for you? Were you satisfied with it? I think a lot more flavor has come out.
Agreed, but it's still pretty watery.
Still didn't hit the promise that the fucking label was sort of touting.
I do like it. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Would I go buy a bottle? Probably not. I mean, just opposed to all the other shit that's out there, maybe.
Right. I could see if you're out and it's on tap, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
That might be tasty.
All right, so my classic, I'm going to go with a little Striper.
Look at you.
I'm going to go on the record that they said, you know what?
What?
We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to be rock stars. We just want to be a rock band.
I know.
We're not going to preach to you. Well, maybe a little bit. But we're going to tone that down. And we're going to do some different stuff. But, this is a song that comes off of Against the Law. I really dig this song. Really good melodic you know, classic Striper thing.
I'm hip.
This one's called Two Bodies, One Mind, One Soul.
Bodies, one mind, zero. So the number going.
Yeah, they should have made it like you should have done a thing like that. So I'm trying to say
too good to be forgotten. They should have done that, like the old yearbook.
And just put the number two.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God! It's in my dreams.
Ah.
The amazing Tiffany. All right, Paisan, you got a classic over there.
I do. A little rainbow, perhaps.
Ah, nice.
I just was missing the D.O. Holmes, R.J. Holmes.
R.J.D.?
R.J.D. How you doing, R.J.D.? he could have been a Western star.
How you doing, partner?
That's right, but instead he said, howdy, and decided to go with the metal. And did a little Kill the King, Holmes.
Sweet. Let's kill that bastard. Good to hear some Dio.
That's right.
How long has it been since Dio passed away, you recall?
Gosh, you see, maybe 6 years? It's been a while.
It has.
It's funny how fast that time flies before you realize it, man.
You ain't kidding, man. Well, anyway, let's get to our picks of the shoe. I got a new one that's cool. It's kind of a power metal thingy. Yeah, I just discovered these guys here recently and was kind of blown away. They kind of have a... I think we said like a Symphony X type sound.
Nice.
And they're called Eternity. The name of the record is called The Human Race Extinction. And the song I'm digging on is called The Prototype. Really nice. Cool, man. Really, like I said, Symphony X-ish. Proggy. Very nice. Let's do it. We'll be right back. All right, Paisan, you get picked over there.
Yeah, I don't, you know, to be honest, I don't remember if we actually mentioned it. It's a quick sort of moment of silence for Ollie Herbert.
Yeah.
Who died recently. I think he died on my birthday, actually, which sucks. But, and I don't know if they've actually said yet what the cause of death was.
I know they were, there was nothing out here a day or so ago.
Yeah, I think they usually it's the kind of thing they're kind of like, let's hold up here before we find out, you know, make sure we get all the facts right so nobody gets, you know, gets upset unnecessarily. And that's fine, I totally understand. But their new, what sucks is they just had that new album come out, Victim of the New Disease, right?
Yeah.
And I heard a track that sounded pretty fucking amazing. They've been playing it on Liquid Metal. So I figured we should jump with that one. What do you say with a little fuck love?
Let's do it.
So there you go. That's it, and there it is, my friend.
Yeah, he will be missed. We've been fans of All That Remains for pretty much the first record. And it's really sad to hear that he's not with us anymore, but we will definitely be playing music off this record. It looks to be a killer one. So
fuck yeah, dude.
Guys, we want to thank you for listening. As always, we got a great interview for you, and we want to give you two big holds up.
This is Nils from Dynasty, and you are listening to the Gingers and Ragman Show. Horns up.
Guys, you're on live with Ragman, mano y mano, with Nils from Dynasty. Nils, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm all good. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us on the Genghis Ragman show. We appreciate it. I guess to start off, you guys came on my radar about 2 years ago with your record Titanic Mass. Before that, I hadn't heard a bunch about you. So I know you guys are on AFM now, and that's really, I think, going to help spread the word. I think getting on Spine Farm helped well as well. But can you kind of give our audience kind of a little bit of a story behind Dynasty, how long you guys have been around, and kind of what they can expect with your sound?
Sure. Well, we've been around for 10 years now, and we are a Stockholm-based band from Sweden. And yeah, we've been active for 10 years. We're releasing our sixth album tomorrow, actually. And in terms of our sound, people describe us as modern melodic metal, something like that.
I'll definitely buy that. I almost hear some kind of power metal type vibe mixed in there as well, where because you bring in a little bit more of an edge.
Sure, we got a little bit of everything when it comes to influences, but yeah, sure, there are some power metal stuff, and but in general, I think the easiest term is to just call it melodic modern metal, with hints of symphonic metal or power metal or whatever you want.
Gotcha. There are so many different determinations of what you could call it. It's like just grabbing the air and pick one, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I do have a question, because I did read this about you guys. When y'all started off in 2008, that I guess the band was a little bit more of just more of a melodic hard rock band. You guys weren't teetering with that AOR stuff, were you? Or were you that melodic, or was it still pretty hard rock?
I would never consider our early stuff as AOR. That is way softer than those albums, I think. We were more like a melodic hard rock band, kind of a retro 80s hard rock band. Heavy guitar-oriented kind of stuff with that kind of vibe. That was where we started out.
What I guess at what point did you guys kind of say, you know, let's morph this into something to where you kind of are today with more of a metal band and bring in the symphonic part of it, the orchestration of the keyboards, and being a lot more technical than kind of what you started?
Well, I think that this was sort of a natural progression all the way from the start. We sort of grew a little heavier with each album, and then we sort of shifted into fifth gear on the fourth album, Renatus. And there was a point there where we felt that we wanted to break free of this sort of retro genre or whatever you want to call it. And that was because we felt that we were kind of restricted and limited to in that genre. So we wanted to do something that was without any rules and restrictions, and where we could basically create whatever we wanted. And so we sort of made like a semi-conscious decision to actually to not stay where we were and actually just create the whatever music we would create. Whatever comes out, we're going to do. And that's where we ended up doing a bit of a shift musically on the fourth album, Renatus, back in 2014.
I really dig when like a band does evolve like that and they don't just stick to that, you know, bread and butter formula, to where they kind of think outside the box and try to really grow the band and move into other directions and keep you guessing a little bit, not totally getting off that signature sound, but you know, adding in new elements, so to speak. And I love that you guys have the heavier edge, and I'm really digging the orchestration, especially on the new record.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's also a thing that we do with each album is we always try to add something new to the mix of influences that we already have, and that's a way of staying fresh and not getting stale, and just keeping the songwriting inspirational and or inspired, and we try to be a little challenging with ourselves with each album that we make.
That's awesome, man. Well, How would you say that the new album, Firesign, differs from Titanic Mass?
I think it's a bit more dynamic song-wise. There is more variation between the songs. This was something that we felt a little with Titanic Mass, that it was surely a kick-ass album, but for this one we wanted to add more diversity in between the songs, to change up a little more than we did on that album. So I think it has a little more of this, and then I also think that we added some new influences. We upped the symphonic elements quite a bit on this album, and even upped them a little in the mix than we usually do. And yeah, that's the new stuff that we added to this album, I think.
I think a great song that really illustrates what you guys are doing orchestra-wise is My Darkest Hour. That's actually one of my early favorites on the record. It's kind of mid-tempo, and there's this big orchestration thing at the beginning of the song. I really dig that, man. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together?
That song originally was the same song as In the Arms of a Devil.
Oh, wow.
They were, the first idea was that one together with a guitar riff of In the Arms of a Devil. And we pretty quickly realized that these two parts are awesome, but they are not the same song. They should be split into two separate songs. And that's what happened. So yeah, this was something completely different from the start, but we quickly realized that we should make this into an original song, and I think we dropped tempo for it quite a lot and ended up with the main theme of My Darkest Hour and built the song from that.
I really dig like these kind of slower, just really heavy melodic type songs, and the big orchestration in it thing really, I think, makes this a powerful, epic song for y'all.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of my favorites as well.
What how does Dynasty, how what's the writing process like? Do you guys all come in with ideas? Is it more finished? Do you get in the studio? Is it file sharing? How do you guys work in the studio or recording?
Well, what we do is that we write and demo the songs at the same time. We usually start with some sort of idea, whether it's a vocal melody or a chord progression or a guitar part or something like that. We start with a little seed, so to speak, and then we sit down and we start demo and build the song from there. And the songs are primarily written by me and both guitar players. And yeah, we sit down and experiment with ideas and arrangements, and until we feel that we have something that we are completely satisfied with.
Well, that's awesome. Do you play an instrument, or are you just in there kind of maybe humming melodies on humming or singing melodies to the guys, or do you actually play an instrument?
Well, I can play some guitar for example, and a little bit of piano, but only like what is necessary for actually writing music. You don't have to be a super piano player to be able to strum some chords and sing along to it. No, I work a lot separately also. So, but then we get together and we start putting our ideas together and sit down and experiment with orchestrations and things like this.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of really good vocalists out there that can really sing a part, and the guitar players can pick up on it. That's why I was kind of curious. I know some guys actually dabble with the guitar a little bit. Some guys just say, no, this is what I'm thinking. And basically writing the song through like a vocal melody that they're humming or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. There are all kinds of ways. Sometimes you can start with something like that and you build it from, or there's already an instrumental part and you add vocals to it, or just different methods and different ways to do it.
Nice. Well, another song I wanted to bring up, and this is probably my favorite right now, is Starfall. That, to me, is probably one of the heavier tracks on the record, and I just love that groove in the beginning. It's heavy, it's melodic, it's got everything I like in a song. Do you have a cool story about that song?
Originally had a very different chorus for the song, and that was quite dramatically different from the one that we ended up with. And it wasn't necessarily a bad chorus, it's more that we felt that the other one was more appropriate for the song. Other than that, I think this song was this kind of song that just kind of wrote itself, that there was no struggle with this song. I remember Luve had the original guitar riff, and then I made the chorus, I think, and then we just put together a verse, and then we had the song, basically.
Are those the easier songs, are they as rewarding as something that you really labor over for, like, you know, days or months or whatever?
Yeah, sometimes they feel like a bonus, like these songs that go so fast, because others you work on for a longer period, and some just goes very fast for some reason. But actually, there was no real struggle on this album. We sort of finished all the tracks very fast once we were working on them. I remember on the previous album, though there were some songs that we ended up changing 100 times before we finally settled on the finished version. But this, all the songs on this album were finished quite effortlessly.
Oh, that's awesome! Because I've talked to some guys, and they'll record them and then maybe tour and then go back to them and then modify them again, and it just seems like a really lengthy process. But I guess if you know you got it right early on, then there's no reason to really have to go back and touch it up, you know?
Yeah, sure. What we do generally is that we create the song in the first minute and a half, or 2 minutes of the song. And then once we have that, we go on to the next song. And what you can always do in with this method is that you can always backtrack and go, you know, let the song rest for a while, work on some other songs, and then you go back to this one and say, maybe we want to change this part, or yeah, this, or maybe it's like, oh, this is perfect, we don't need to change anything.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, let's talk about your first official video, The Gray. That's a cool tune as well. I think it's a really good choice for a video. And I like the video. It's a nice, good performance piece. But it's a little different to what, the way they shot it with the black and white and then kind of the color at the end and the, you know, fireworks stuff going on. Can you tell us a little bit about The Gray and the making of the video?
Video is directed by a guy called Uwe Lingvall, who happens to be the drummer of another Swedish band called Nocturnal Rites.
Oh yeah, nice.
And this was a guy who was suggested by us from the record label, and we saw his show reel and all the videos that he's done, and we saw that he was a very talented video maker and director. And so we talked with him a little and discussed the idea of shooting with a green screen and see what we could do visually with it. And yeah, it turned out really good.
Do you like doing more of the performance type videos, or I don't know if you guys have done a lot of videos where there's like plot lines and actors and all that stuff.
Yeah, the thing is with these plot lines and all of that, I tend to see them, unless you make it very artistically good and all this, I tend to think that they can become quite ridiculous a lot of times, especially if you don't have a huge ass fucking pop budget or something like that, then it might be. So I generally just prefer to see the band and see them perform and see what they are. And of course you can do a lot of cool stuff with it. Doesn't only have to be a band they're playing, but unless you have a really, really, really good idea, I'm sort of hesitant to try it.
I don't blame you, man, because it could, like you said, it could come off pretty cheesy, and you're just like, oh God, why did we do that?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about videos now? Videos are kind of, or YouTube at least, is kind of like the new MTV, so to speak, because basically you can find almost any artist you want and find some sort of either bootleg video or professionally shot live footage or these videos. And I think it's awesome, like labels like AFM or have budgets for videos. What are your thoughts on kind of, I guess, the medium now of getting your product out there and people noticing you? I think YouTube's awesome just for that sort of thing.
I completely agree. Back in the days, maybe 15, 20 years ago, before YouTube, there was everybody was talking about that the music video is dead and there's no point in making any music videos anymore, because not even the TV channels that play are supposed to play music videos, they're not even playing them anymore. But nowadays we have YouTube, for example, and I think that this is a great platform for bands to get the exposure that they need, and it's also, in general, a very good place for any kind of nerdery. if you're a nerd, to really go to town and see all the kind of stuff that you can find. I mean, if I would have had YouTube when I was a kid, it would have saved me a lot of trouble. I used to travel across the country to try to find an old VHS tape of a band that I, a concert or something like that, that I wanted to see. And nowadays you can find anything that you want. So the downside, of course, is that it's more difficult to get proper payment for your stuff and all this. But all in all, I think that YouTube is very beneficial for bands today.
Oh yeah, I agree. And I'm old school, like you. I used to buy anything I could on VHS, or if you're really old, Betamax, just to get live shows. And now, actually, it seems like a lot of bands are starting to include like live DVDs with like CDs and stuff, trying to, I guess, influence people to buy a hard product rather than streaming or something like that. And I'm an old school guy, so like if y'all had a hard copy CD with a DVD, it's guaranteed I'm going to buy it, because I want to see you guys live. Being over in Sweden, it's not super easy to come over to the States unless you're doing like Prog Power or something like that. But as far as touring, what are your plans to go out and support the new record?
Well, we just did a Scandinavian tour here that we came home from this week. And we're going to do some more touring in December and in the winter and in the spring. And we're going to hit the European mainland, for example, and we're going to go a little to the east, Eastern Europe, and that's as far as our plans stretch at this point.
Nice. Well, we would love to see you over here, but I understand it's very hard, so... if y'all shoot a DVD, I'll buy it. No. That way I can rock out in my house with lots of cheap beer, because I already paid for it.
Well, at one point we're going to make it over to the States. I mean, we have been there before, like you mentioned, at the Prog Power Festival, for example. But it would be great also to, at some point, be able to do a full tour. There's lots of territories to cover over there.
Oh yeah, it'd be very killer, man. If you come to Texas, I'll be up front and center. We'll go grab a beer after the show if you drink beer.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Hey, part of our show is about beer. What's the best Swedish beer you can get?
There aren't any good Swedish beers.
Okay. Well, what do you drink on a normal basis? What's your beer your go-to beer?
Usually I'll find not Swedish IPAs or something like that. You got really good IPAs in Southern America.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm all about it. You know what? You want to hear something funny? One of my buddies was telling me, because I drink, that's about all I drink is IPAs. And I mean, I'm into this new style. It's called the New England style. And it's very, it's like unfiltered. It's very cloudy, but citrusy. But apparently IPA, something in the IPA makes your a man's tits grow.
Really?
Yeah. So I joke with my buddy. He's like, "Hey, man, my tits are getting bigger. I'm drinking another badass IPA."
Well, this is a sacrifice you got to make.
Yeah, no shit. It's bad enough my gut's huge, but now I'm getting tits. But the IPAs over here. Dude, I'll get you a badass IPA if you come to Houston or Texas.
Sounds good.
Well, Nils, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Well, check out our new album if you haven't already, Fire Sign, and hopefully we'll make it over to the States as soon as we can. We're always working on it.
Awesome. Well, Nils, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis the Ragman show here on therighttorock.com, and we want to tell all the fans to grab Dynasty's brand new record, Fire Sign, out on AFM, on September 28th. Nils, great talking to you, man. You're welcome back anytime, and good luck on tour and everything, man.
Thanks, man.
To our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And